you have in the top there, the Atlantic put out this year, at the beginning of the year, the top 10 innovations in medical technology, something like that, of the past year. And there's a lot of interesting things, a lot of things I'm sure you're all aware of. There was one that I personally had been hearing about myself a lot, and it made me think, like, what is the Jewish approach to this? And so I'll read it to you, and you can read it yourself, but let's just read it together real quick and then discuss. Here's what the Atlantic said. Loyal drugs, the life extension meds for dogs. Longevity science is having a moment. Bloomberg Business Week recently devoted an issue to the tech titans, venture capitalists, crypto enthusiasts, and AI researchers who have turned longevity research into something between the hottest science and a tragic comedy. There must be a trillion, I'm rounding up, podcast episodes about how metformin, statins, and other drugs can extend our life. But where is the hard evidence that we are getting any closer to figuring out how to help our loved ones live longer? Look to the dogs. Large breeds, such as Great Danes and Rottweilers, generally die younger than small dogs. A new drug made by the biotech company Loyal tries to extend their lifespan by targeting a hormone called insulin-like growth factor 1, or IGF-1. Some scientists believe that high levels of the chemical speed up aging in big dogs. By reducing IGF-1, Loyal hopes to curb aging-related increases in insulin. In November, the company announced that it had met a specific FDA requirement for future fast-tracked authorization of drugs that could extend the lifespan of big dogs. The data you provided are sufficient to show that there is reasonable expectation of effectiveness, an official at the FDA wrote. The company in a letter provided to the New York Times wrote, Loyal's drug is not available to pet owners yet and may not be for several years, but the FDA's support nonetheless marks a historic acknowledgement of the promise of lifespan extension medicine. So if you ever wanted your dogs to live to be 100 years old, this drug could do it. Maybe even older than 100. And what's amazing is that maybe it's not just dogs, but maybe next will be not just dogs. I mean, dogs are great that they'll live for long. And maybe also one day that same is in store for humans. Obviously, not just for humans to live to 100, but maybe this means humans living to 200 or 300 or 400. How does that sound? If you look on this chart I put here, in the 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, the average lifespan was somewhere in the 30s, early 40s. And suddenly in the 1900s, around the 1880s, Industrial Revolution and advance of medicine, they're back there, the sheets. There's plenty of the sheets there. The lifespan has increased rapidly, as you can see. And of course, you know, the rabbis tell us that the original plan, there's a lot of sheets in the back, there's a stack of them. The original plan was to live forever, but after the sin at the tree of knowledge, that changed. And so I want to show you some sources and first discuss Jewish perspectives on longevity in general. And then I want to ask the question, is this a blessing or a curse? Is it a blessing or a curse? Is this a good thing? And what off-target effects should we be thinking about? Meaning, let's say it's going to happen. Everyone's going to want to live longer. Everyone's going to go for it. But are there some concerns that we should at least be thinking about before we take the pill that makes us live four or five times as long or whatever that might be? So first of all, the Bible says that we used to live for, the Torah says we used to live for very, very long lifespans. That's, we know that, right? We know that in the first part of Genesis until the flood, people were living 600, 700, 800. In fact, I remember I was once watching Jeopardy, and one of the questions in Jeopardy was, I think the way they asked the question was, who is Metushalach? That was the way he questioned, and what's the answer? The longest living person who lived to 993 years, something like that, in the Torah. So why did they live so long back then? Why did they live 700, 800 years? So Maimonides actually writes in the Morning of Uchim, look on the top of the page here, he says, Ani Omer, you have in the English there as well, Shelo haya hayami mahim ela ha'ish hahu haniskar levado. It wasn't that everyone lived so long. It was just certain people that were mentioned and why they lived so long. Im lesibot rabot bimizono venhagato. It was because of the food they ate. This is the top of page 2. The foods that they ate and the lifestyle at that time. Or it was al derech hamofes venoheg minhago. Maybe it was some kind of miracle, but it was probably because of the foods they ate. It was a very healthy time. way back then in the olden days. First of all, they were vegetarians back then, just by the way. I'm not trying to say. But they were vegetarians back then. Also, it was a much healthier lifestyle. They had no processed foods, obviously, and just cleaner life. And because of that, they lived to be 900 years old. Yes. Okay, that's a different conversation. Maybe the year was longer then. That's true. It's possible, scientifically speaking, that the time was moving slower. Time has been slowing down. But okay, we're not going there right now. But by the way, it is a weird thing that he says. Nachmanides, in his critique, in the next source, Nachmanides critiques it and says, but wait a second. If it's because they lived healthier, why did some people live to 900 and others, you're saying others lived a normal lifespan that we live today? It doesn't make sense. So he argues that no, everyone was living in those days, hundreds of years, potentially. And not just them, and many people. And he also gives, he says, first of all, people were, you know, people hadn't been as corrupted. I mean, physically corrupted yet. Then it was a much healthier lifestyle. And until the flood, for whatever reason. But then he also says it was because they ate healthier and they lived healthier. They had less worries and concerns and stress. I mean, you'd think they had the stress about everything. Just getting a meal was stressful. But okay, let's just put that aside. We have more stress today. So that's point number one. They lived for very long lives in early days, and maybe it seems to be that it was because of lifestyle choices and the food was much healthier, and they just lived healthier lives, and so they lived for hundreds of years. Now go to page 3. We've been talking about the Messianic era in this discussion. So in the Messianic era, Maimonides also writes that the life we will live very long. So, for example, in one place is called the Maimer Kiddush Hashem of the Rambam, in a letter he wrote. In one place, just look where I underlined, he writes that they will live Chaim Aruchim Me'od Kechaim Nimsayim B'Yemot Mashiach. In the Messianic days, they'll live not just long lives, but very long lives. Which, by the way, if they were living based on that chart, average lifespan was into their 30s, then now people are routinely living to be 90 and 100. We're kind of already in a phase where they would have said, but then again, the Psalms already says people a good life is still 70, a great life is still 80, and you had many people in the Talmud that lived to 120. So I have trouble believing that when Maimonides said in the Messianic era we'll live very long lives, that he meant, you know, 70 or 80. I think he means longer. He writes in another place in the his commentary on the Mishnah and Sanhedrin. He writes as follows. Vegam yarchu chaye b'nei adam, people will live very long, ki be'heder hadagot, because without having all the stresses, v'tzarot, and the concerns, yarchu hachayim. In the Messianic era, we believe life is going to be very good. Then there's no war, there's no illness, there's no suffering, there's no poverty. So then we'll be able to live again in a time where we can live very long. But is it just the lack of stress that makes us live long? Could it be that medical technology is what we have to thank or expect or hope for helping us to live very long lives? And I think you could argue it. Look at this next source. This is now about the Messianic era. I want to make an interesting argument. In Isaiah, you know, because first of all, even before we go there, let me just say one more thing about Maimonides. We've studied in this class about Maimonides' belief in the Messianic era. Did he believe it was going to be very miraculous and all kinds of miracles and outside of nature? Anyone remember? No. Maimonides believed that it was going to be basically nature, a normal world, but just with all these great things of not having war and suffering and things like that. But it will be a natural, it's not miraculous. So if he believed it's going to be non-miraculous, but living very long, could it be that it's just because of not having stress and eating healthy? I mean, of course, that's important. But maybe Maimonides also is kind of hinting at medications and things that we're doing, which is partially through nature. Like we've discussed CRISPR and how CRISPR is through a bacteria, the way a certain bacteria fights viruses in nature. It's harnessing nature. It's not necessarily even miraculous, CRISPR, even though it's incredible technology. But like maybe even Maimonides is saying that through natural means, but through medical technology, we can be extending life significantly.
I mean, so much of us medically is determined by our DNA.
Well,
perhaps DNA has been altered as a species if you take big chunks of time.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but so with CRISPR, we can overcome our DNA. So, yeah. So, okay, so Isaiah. When Isaiah talks about, and I want to hear your feedback. I'm going to slow down in a minute too, because this is my first time presenting this discussion. As I told you, when the article came out in The Atlantic, I became especially interested in the topic, but I hadn't presented it publicly yet. So I really want to hear your feedback so we can discuss this together. Isaiah talks about the Messianic era in Perek Samechei 65:20. He says, Lo ye misham od ul yamim vezaken asher lo yemale et yamav. No longer will there be people, first of all, infants or people with gray beard, right? That's a direct translation, people that will, you know, be elderly, who do not live out their lifetime. Asher lo yemale et yamav, that don't live out their lifetime. Ki hanar ben meyesh shana yamut. Because the child will die at age 100, v'achote berama shana yekala. What does this mean? The child will die when he is 100? So the commentary here says, let's read the Ibn Ezra. The Radak says it also. Ibn Ezra says, what does he mean? Hine, Torah zota parsha ki ashavim al tzion b'yamos ha-mashiach. This is talking about the Messianic period in Tzion. Yichiyu shanim rabot. People will live very long lives. V'hine ha-zaken yamal yitiyamav shu betoldot l'chiyot. The person will live out their full lifespan. Kamo ha-kadmoni mi-adam v'ad noach. Like the lifespan of the people in the book of Genesis before the flood, like those 400, 500, 600, 900 year lifespans. That's what will happen, he argues, in the Messianic era. So then he goes on, V'hameit v'hu ben me'a shana. If someone dies at the age of 100, if someone's 100 today, what would you say? Is that, they live a long life? In the Messianic era, he says, if someone dies at age 100, that will be the imet yekolel. That will be like they will say, "Whoa, they died at age 100. Who dies so young? That's so sad." Ki im chaya pachot me'ela shanim. They live less than 100. Az yomru ala. People will then say, "Adayin lo shalmo dato." They didn't live a life yet. V'zei amar shemet v'hunar. That's what it means when the verse said they die as a child. V'achote im ye ben me'ah. If someone dies at 100 because of chait, hakatuv le'ad ki sof ha'olam yashuv k'rishito. They'll go back to the earlier days. So in other words, dying at age 100 will be like someone who dies, God forbid, as a child today. So Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan did the math with this. What is a nar? What is a child today? The Hebrew phrase for a nar is 13 years old. So if we're saying that a 13-year-old, and of course today if a 13-year-old dies, that's very sad, that's very young, that's horrible. So if we would say about a person who's 100, that they're like they're 13, then that means we'll be living 7.7 times longer. This is the argument. And if you say that today, the longest someone could live, which we'll discuss in a minute, is to 120, so that means the longest someone will be able to live at that time, if you time 120 times 7.7 is 923. So, what? Right about the length of the longest life in the Bible. So that you do the math. It's interesting that this time, this lifespan is what he's arguing is right back to those biblical time periods. So that's what they're arguing is, and that's what this Midrash says there, Midrash Rabbah, and Ibn Ezra there says people live like the length of life of trees. But we have this belief that in the Messianic era, people will live these very long lifespans once again. Has anyone ever given you the blessing Ad Me'ev Esrim, should live to 120? Yeah, you've heard this blessing before? What?
They'll go to 180. They're like, you should live to 180.
Right. Right. But it's a common blessing, right? When people say, may you live to be 120. So is that really what we believe is the max lifespan? Because you hear this said a lot, that the max lifespan is 120. Yeah.
Well, what about fertility in women? Would it go on for many, many years?
Well,
what about the population?
That's possible, because usually there's a connection between fertility and longevity. But that's a different conversation. So the whole issue, I just want to mention this briefly, and then I want to go to the concerns, and I really want to, and then I want to hear your feedback. The issue of living to 120 is based on the verse in Bereishit. It also, it says, Vayomer Hashem, Lo yadun ruchi ba'adam, talking about the generation of Noah, the sins that are happening, I'm not comfortable with what's happening. Ba'adam le'olam b'shegam hu basar, people are just flesh and blood. V'hayu yamav me'ev esrim shana, people's lifespan will be 120 years. Sounds like that's a limit, right? Because maybe, I mean, could you say like And I don't know, Dr. Golden, I don't know if we have people here at Cedars-Sinai working on these longevity drugs, but should I go up to their office now and say, you know, I'm sorry. So you said yes? So interesting. So I'm looking forward to hearing. So maybe we should go. Maybe we'll go as a class. We're a delegation from the rabbi. We just finished our class. And we want to tell you that this is a Jewish hospital. You may not cause people to live past 120. Because the Bible said 120 is the limit. And we do not violate biblical precepts at this hospital. I'm just kind of talking facetiously, obviously. But should we go to that? Say, I'm asking a question more like, is that actually a prohibition in the Bible? Is that like, is there actually a prohibition against living past 120? So, no, it's not. It's not saying that. There were some commentaries that kind of hinted at that. So if you look at here, like you have on the page, Ibn Ezra. He says, Shazay ketzev kol adam. This is actually the limit of life. How long can you live? 120. V'im matzanu yoter kein, matzanu miatz. And if anyone live longer, it's very, very few. Rak al rov yadav. He's talking about the majority. People live until only 120. The Barbanel says the same thing when it says, b'shagamhu basar. That verse is also the same numerical value as the name Moshe, Moses' name. So it's referring to Moses. Yeah.
I was gonna say, isn't that because Moshe lived to 120?
Yeah, so Moshe lived to 120. That's also the numerical value. We'll talk about that in a second.
And also
Sarah? Okay, yeah.
She
was 127. She was 127. Right. We'll talk about those in a second. So you have some commentary. The Malbim there says that we should only live to 120 because people make so many mistakes and do so many things wrong that, you know, how can we let them live longer? But look at, if Rashi says, Rashi, the classic commentary, simply says that it was, that this was a generation where God was saying, you have to repent, right? People were stealing and doing so many horrible things. I said, I'm going to bring a flood. I'm giving you now a limit of 120 years. In 120 years, I'm going to bring the flood if you don't repent. That's all he was saying. Not you can't live more than 120. In fact, we know that, yes, it's true, Moshe lived to 120, but Aaron, his brother, lived to 123. Avram, after this, 175. Yitzchak, 180. Yaakov, 147. There are still people that lived to age 400 after this. So it was not a prohibition against living past 120. It was just simply saying, the flood is coming in 120 years, so be prepared. In fact, there were some, I saw this fascinating piece from Rav Zilberstein. Rav Zilberstein, the great rabbi in Israel, he says as follows. Someone gave him the blessing, may you live, ad meiv esrim shana, may you live to be 120. And here's how he responded. Shemati b'shem Aran HaGrach, this is now page 5. I heard from the great Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. She'asur lomar, that is forbidden to say, this is in Yiddish here, obviously, zos leben ad meiv esrim. You should live, she'tichye ad meiv esrim, you should live to be 120. The yesh b'zeh iser shel klola. That's not a blessing. That's a curse. Why would you curse someone and say you should live to 120? Maybe they can live much longer. Shar yechol lichyot yoter v'nimsa shemeklolo b'mashem magabil lo etachayim ad meiv esrim. That's limiting their life to 120. You should give someone a blessing. Instead, say something like, you should have a richas yamim. You should live very long. But why say to someone you should live to 120 when they could live much longer and there's people working at Cedars-Sinai helping you do that? So now we see that it's not the right thing. In fact, we should invite those researchers to this class and say, we praise what you're doing, right? So it's not a limit. It's not saying it's forbidden. But now I want to ask in our last number of minutes, and then I want to really hear your opinions. I want to just share a couple of Torah opinions that I found throughout Torah literature on, is this a good thing? And then I want to hear your thoughts. Is this a value? Like, meaning, would the Torah, we can't ask the Torah, but we can look through Torah literature and say, is this a good thing? We know that we say v'chai b'hem. Judaism believes in, you know, living healthy lives, living good lives, helping people to live, overcoming illness, curing illnesses. Obviously, it's good. It's a very, very long life. Is that a good thing? So let's look at a few interesting pieces in the Torah to see what it says, and then please share with me your reactions. Now, place number one. Very interesting. The Talmud says, I'm sorry I didn't translate it here, but on page 5 in the middle there, it says, Tanu Rabbanan, Shishud Devarim Asa Chizkiyah Melech. There were 6 things that Chizkiyahu the king did. 3 of them the rabbis liked, 3 of them the rabbis didn't like. One of them, things that they liked, it says, Ashur Shehodu Lo, Ashur Shelo Hodu. 3 of them liked, one of them they liked, Ashur Shehodu Lo, Gunas, Sefer Refuos, Hodu Lo. He got rid of the book of cures. There was a book of cures of all illnesses, which, by the way, many of those cures, it says, involved cedar trees, ground up cedar trees. Cedars were considered a healing tree, which is part of the reason for the name Cedars of Lebanon, Cedar Sinai. Cedars trees were considered healing. He got rid of it. Why? Rashi says, Kadesh Yivak Shirachamim, because people weren't praying to God for their lives. They were just taking it for granted that they would live long lives. And there was no sense of perspective, which look at the Gemara says elsewhere. The Gemara then says, Tanu Hasam, this is the Talmud in Shabbos, Kuf Nun Gimel, says Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Shuv Yom Echad Lifnei Misascha. You should do repentance. You should repent one day before you die. Right? Live however you want, but then one day before you die, repent. I'm kind of joking there, but that's what he says. But then they said to him, Shalu Talmida Ves Rabbi Eliezer. But then the student said to him, excuse me, Rabbi, V'chi Adam Yodeh is a Yom Yamut? Does a person really know when they're going to die? So he said, good question, Amr Lahan. V'kol Shekein, therefore, Yashuv Yom Shema Yamus L'machar. You should repent today because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. V'nimsa Kol Yamav B'tshuva. So therefore, you spend your whole life repenting. In other words, the fragility of life, our very mortality forces us to make the most of life and recognize that life is limited. So therefore, we try to do good, right? Because we know how much life do we have? We never know. So one concern could be if we had the ability to live to 300 years old, would this take away our ambition, our motivation, not just to live good, but to accomplish things more so. If you turn the page, I'm going to go a little out of order here because I just changed my mind about the order after I put the sheet together. Go to the last page. Turn the page and just look at a few interesting pieces here. Number one, on the top of the page from Genesis 3:22, it says, "Vayomar Hashem Elokim," God said, "Heina Adam Haya Ke'echad Mimenu." Now that they've eaten from the tree, they're like one of us. Ledas Tovara, humanity, Adam and Eve, knows good and evil. Viata pen yishlach yado lakach gam me'etz achayim. Don't take from the tree of life, v'achav v'chay le'olam. Because if you eat from this tree and live forever. So the Sforno, one of the commentaries says, why did it seem to be a concern about living forever? So the Sforno says, ki echad imenu ledas tovara, hu yodea tovara im hayos b'tzalmenu. People know good and evil. V'imye nitzchi, but if people would be eternal, people would live forever. B'zeh inyan, hine yirdov kol hayamim achrei ha'erev. They would just always be able to say, like, let me just enjoy life because I have so much free time. V'yashlich achrei givo kol hasaga sichlit. They'll say, what do I have? What do I need to accomplish? What do I need to do anything good? V'chol ma'aseh tov, or do accomplish anything nice. V'lo yafsiga osher haruchani, and I won't go after anything spiritual desires. Hamechavi me'es hakel yisbarach b'tzalmo v'demuso. Once I see that I have so much time and leisure, like, why should I try to accomplish anything? In fact, I didn't put it on the sheet yet, but the Gemara says, we mentioned this before in Bava Metzia and Sanhedrin. I'll read it to you. Avraham, we know, looked just like his son, Isaac. Avram was very accomplished. How do you think that was for his son? To be identical to his father. Not just identical, like as if they were the same age, because there was no aging yet. That's for probably other drugs people are working on. That's not here, for sure in LA. Right? It says, Ad Avram, Lohaya Zikna. Until Avram, no one aged. No one had signs of aging. No wrinkles, no signs of aging. No gray beard, no gray hair, white hair, whatever. Kol dechazi l'Avram. Anyone who saw Avram, Amar, Hayitzchak. Oh, look, that's Yitzchak. No, it's Avram. Kol dechazi l'Yitzchak. Anyone who saw Yitzchak, Amar, Hay Avram. They thought, that's your father, that's you. Ba Avram Rachme. So Abraham prayed to l'Havi le'Zikna. He prayed for aging. And that's when aging started, meaning no one aged in the whole world until Avram. Just like we talked about, no one got sick until Yaakov. That's the next thing. No one aged until Avram. But he thought, it's important to age. It's important to age also because it's important to have the next generation. There needs to be people to take over. So go back. Look at the previous source there. It's Rabbeinu Bachai. It's quoting Genesis 1:31. In the creation story, it says, "V'yara Elokim es kol asher asah." God saw all that He did. V'hine tov me'od. It was very good. V'hi er v'yivoker yom shishi. Then it was the sixth day. Why does it say tov me'od? Why? Everything else it just says tov. Everything God created, it was good. But with humanity, it was very good? So would you believe me Let's just read this to you. It's crazy. If I would say to you, what's very good about humanity? Everything's good, but only humans are very good. Why are we very good? What, Paula?
Die.
Because we die. What's good about that? Are you crazy? But look, this Rabbeinu Bachya says here, just look what I underline, says, V'hine tov me'od, ze mavet. Tov is life. Tov me'od, very good, is death. Why is that good? He says, l'fisha mavet, because death is siba shehadorot midchadshin ubayin. Death is the reason why generations progress. New generations have to take over, right? It has to be that. It has to be that. You know, sometimes we think like, oh, these kids today, man, I don't even understand their language, literally. And I don't. My children, they say words. I do not. My son says the other day, it's time to dip. I'm like, yeah, you're laughing because you know what it means. I was like, what, in like hummus or what do you want to dip it in? He's like, no, it's time to dip. I'm like, dip means go. I did not know this. This is very apparently new English. So the reason I'm joking about it is because on the one hand, we're like, oh, these kids today. But on the other hand, they're in the future, right? It has to be that the world is, they're going to lead. Like, we need to make room for them because humanity won't progress without the next generation. Like, that's how it's supposed to be. Is it a good thing? Like, our CEO just announced he's retiring. It's very sad after 30 years of CEO, 45 years of this hospital. I mean, he's been an amazing CEO. He's been incredible. I was really depressed when I heard he was retiring. But the reality is, you do need to have that in the world, that you have to have new people having an opportunity to lead and new ideas and new approaches and new things. It just has to be that way eventually, right? The truth is, in some ways, death is a progressive idea. It's saying like, it's the opportunity for the next generation to have their chance. Sometimes it's scary because the next generation, you know, we're worried about it. But that also means the previous generation has to train the next generation. But I'll just share with you two more sources and then I want to stop and hear your thoughts. You go back to the last page now. And by the way, this is Moshe, just as a side point. Moshe, who died at 120, who said that wasn't a punishment. It was a punishment in some ways, but it wasn't saying that it's the limit of life. But Moshe was Anav Mikol Adam. He was the most humble of all people. So he died in order to give over leadership. He gives it over to Yeshua, to Joshua, not even to his own children, by the way. It wasn't nepotism, right? He gave it over to the most fitting person in the next generation and says, someone else, I have to pass the baton. I have to have planning for the next generation, for the next people to lead. I led you in one context, but we need people to lead you in a new context. I don't have experience building a society, building, you know, like I have experience doing one thing. I got you out of Egypt. Someone else needs to get you into the land. Like that was Moses' greatness of that he passed the baton, right? And if we just go to one more story, so just go to the last page now. And I'll share with you one last idea that I thought is interesting that is along these lines. The really interesting Gemara. The Talmud says as follows, and I don't think I would have understood it without everything I've said until now, but now when you read this piece of the Talmud, it's like, oh, now I see. The Talmud says, this is from Avodah Zarah, Daf Hey Amad Aleph, in the middle of page 6. It says, Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Ein ben David ba ad sheyichlu neshamos shebeguf. We actually discussed this a couple weeks ago. Mashiach, Messiah won't come until all the souls are born. Everyone has to be born. There's some belief that like every soul has to have a chance to be born before the Messiah can come. Shenemar, as it says, the Torah says, Ki lo leolam ariv lo lenetzach eksof ki ruach melefana yatof v'neshamos ani asisi. The verse which says, for I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth for the spirit that enwraps itself for me and the souls that I have made. So listen to this part. Now it says, Lo tema anu lo banu leolam. So don't ask. In other words, don't say now, anu lo banu leolam. We would have been able to live if it wouldn't have been for the sin of Adam and Rishon. We would have lived forever. Ela kemi shelo banu leolam. It's ela kemi shelo banu leolam. In other words, don't say we are not going to live forever. Rather, it's like we're not going to live forever. Rashi explains, what does it mean? Lefi shehein chayim leolam. Don't say that we're not going to live forever. V'chol zman shem kayamim einanu chashuvim klum. Since, rather, what we're saying is that if our ancestors wouldn't have sinned, we would have been worthless. Not that we would have lived forever. We would have been worthless. That's what Rashi means. Because the older generation would have lived forever, we would never have had the chance to take over, we would have been worthless generations. Meaning the younger people would have never been had a chance to be the future, and therefore we'd have been worthless. We would have been can't meet Shelo Balaram. We would have been as if we were never born. So we, in other words, we're thankful that there is such thing as death, because it gives an opportunity for the next generation to have leadership. So I think that there clearly is a Torah value of health, longevity, living a long time. There's no prohibition against living a long time, but there are concerns to be aware of. As we pursue these goals, we have to be thinking about what does this mean for the next generation? What does this mean for life? If we would live in a way that we have no motivation to want to accomplish, because we know we only have so many years before we're gone. I mean, I remember, I'll end with this and I want to hear your thoughts. I remember when I was being evaluated, when I donated a kidney exactly a year ago, this month. And when the nephrologist in Canada was evaluating me, she said, you know, you're in your mid-40s. It's a good age to donate because you can easily make it to your 80s with just one kidney. So I was like, just to my 80s? She's like, well, that's the average lifespan. You have to be able to live the average lifespan. I was like, but what if I want to live longer than 80? She was like, well, you need to also be realistic about how long people usually live. And it was like a shock to hear that. But it was like also a wake-up call to me. I was like, she's so right. I mean, I do hope to live longer than 80, but I also have to start thinking, if there's things I want to accomplish and things I want to do, I can't wait. I should start thinking about, when am I going to do it? If not now, when? So there is that value too. So what do you think? What is your reaction to this? If you need to go, you could go. But any thoughts, any reactions? Dr. Golden, please.
So a couple things that I was thinking about. One is kind of the scientific basis for 120 years.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting that it's 120 years. So every time a cell divides, you lose part of the ends of your chromosome, which are called telomeres. We each have 23 of them, 23 pairs. And there is thought to be a scientific limit that people have calculated out based on how many cell divisions you can have that you can live about 100, it's about, you know, it's not exact, but it's about 120 years.
Interesting.
So I think that's really interesting that that has been used as the number. And if you look at, like if you look at C. elegans, worms, if you look at Drosophila, which are flies, if you look at mice, they each live different lengths of time, from days to months to mice about 2 years is their maximum time. And they have shorter telomeres than we do, and appropriately, you know, it's like that's how it's been mapped out, that you can see this different time. And so that limit of what we actually think, we don't know this, but what we think the maximum time for a human is about 120 years, which fits so nicely with
so interesting.
Yeah. So I think that's really interesting. I think, you know, from what the research, not that I'm doing, but others are doing here, is not to try and extend life, but to make your life healthier throughout that time, so that you, you know, you live without the aches and pains.
Right.
And,
the aging process. You mean to like slow down or lessen the aging process.
Then I was thinking about it another way, which is, if I was going to live 900 years, what would I be doing differently? And how would I be thinking about things like the environment differently?
Right.
And how much more, you know, active and acute would I be to say, I don't, you know, we're destroying the earth.
Right.
How much more would I be doing to think about applying to to changing my personal behaviors? And what does that mean? Like, I think about it now for my generation, for my kids and my grandkids, if I have them. That kind of thing. So,
you think you'd be more acutely aware of it, you're saying, if you knew that you were going to experience that?
I don't know, because I do think about this for my own kids, and would I think of it differently if it was...
Right, interesting. There's something to be said for, I mean, if we live to 900 years, there's something to be said for the amount of wisdom we would accumulate. But then again, would people not share that wisdom and not, you know, prepare the next generation for it? Maybe there's something important. Okay, interesting. Very interesting. Any other reactions?
I mean, I think you could argue that life is definitely super valued because, like, Pesach HaNefesh covers over everything. Right. Like, even over Shabbat.
Right.
Saving a life, so that means that you want people to live a long life.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think you could also argue that, like, if an individual lived for so long, right, that they still had, like, a Torah value to them.
For sure.
You constantly still have things that you should be accomplishing.
Right.
Or like how long.
Right.
So it's like, would it somehow in some ways be like, oh, I have so much time, I have like another 500 years to do this. Like, but like, if you still value every single day, right, every day you're committed.
Right. It would just be harder to motivate yourself, but that would be the challenge that would be what we'd have to do. Yeah.
It's like we're applying what we know now about life to the different concept. The whole life, the goals, the aspiration, anything about human will be different.
Yeah.
Like how, you know, now pretty much people go to school for so many years. They do
Go to school till you're 200.
Right. It would be like,
get 10 PhDs.
Exactly.
Right.
Don't do that.
Way of
right.
Life would be different.
Right.
And plus, it's just not only you, it's like everybody is like that.
Yeah. Could you imagine the inequities there would be also?
Yeah.
Some people living to 900, other people still living to their 60s.
Like not
right.
Unfair.
Right. It's true.
So.
Interesting. Yes.
Well, it's just like nature, there are cycles. Things go through cycles. Like, I sometimes think of us as skin cells on the body.
Uh-huh.
We have to refresh. So we have to go, like we're talking about, so the next generation.
Right.
But in some way, that's just the process.
Right.
And I also think about people who suffer. Can you imagine being in suffering and thinking, oh, God, I've got 900 of this, years of this to go? I mean, it's not
right.
Like everybody has a life.
Right. Although that goes to Dr. Golden's comment. Maybe if you could reduce the suffering of those years, that's even more valuable.
But that's the argument of the commentaries, that they have less stress, right?
Right.
I mean, we know that like, the majority of cancers are actually environmentally induced by stress, right?
Uh-huh.
Rather than actually are genetic.
Right.
So like, that speaks to the point of the commentaries.
Right.
Like,
right.
You're less stressed out, right?
Actually, I think all cancers are genetic. It's just that the environment affects the genes.
Uh-huh.
Right. But one thing is, like, hereditary. Like, it's not something that you, like...
Yes.
Like, it's not like a BRCA gene that, like...
Correct, but most mutations are not... Most mutations that cause cancer are random mutations. They're not necessarily environmentally driven. But the